Okay, let's move into then a discussion of things that we need to be aware of, things that maybe concern us about dance archiving, and also things, and then we'll move past that in a minute to things that we hope we could do, things that we dream about, things that we wish were possible. I think Karen has already brought up some of the concerns about ways that dance technologies, or at least motion capture technologies, might be used in ways that we find disturbing. And we should talk about that. I also want to think about issues of privacy and how we respect artists' privacy and processes and those things that they want to maybe be forgotten. I mean, the right of artists to have their work forgotten if that's what they want. When I asked yesterday to kind of imagine a scenario where your favorite dancer of the past, who is now deceased, has somehow created all their work was somehow put into a time capsule, and not just their work, but their process, anything you could ever want to know about them. Is there anything that, if you opened that time capsule, that you would feel uncomfortable with preserving? Anything that you would just destroy out of respect for your favorite dancer? That may be a way of thinking about this conversation, but I guess I would like it. So that's a prompt, but feel free to respond in whatever way you want to what concerns you about the technologies we're looking at. Are there things we need to be careful about as we pursue these different conversations?
I'd love to jump in if you don't mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking about the presentations were so helpful this morning, but I was thinking about the real sort of divergence between the way Bibi described the project and the way that Maria described the synchronous objects. Mm-hmm. So there's like this way that sometimes, and it's not about the technology itself, but again, how we use it. It's always about how we're engaging the materials and what we want to do with them. But there's a way that the Forsyth work is very much about hiding a lot of resources. So the presentation helps us see how much went into making this thing. But the thing that we actually see on the stage, you know, it sublimates so much about who the people are, how they got there, what kind of investments went into producing a ballet body that could then do this kind of contemporary work. And then Bibi talked about her project as being something that would bring in, you know, 9/11, someone's memory, a smell, something that was eating, who was working where. So again, kind of revealing all of this information or trying to make these affiliations transparent. And I think there's also a way that's a very gendered kind of strategy that comes into play. So we have a very kind of masculinist, hegemony-based, Euro-male, that's hide everything
reductionistic.
Except what I want to show. You know, so that's just, it's a thing that's in the world. It's not this project alone or Forsyth alone. It's in the world. Mm-hmm. And then we have a way that's like, well, let's open things up and share information and see where, you know, what are the material circumstances of an archive? Like, what goes into the archive depends on how we imagine what it could be. And I think so an opportunity is to kind of notice that tension and try to open it up somehow, so that we can, you know, I think we do have an opportunity to kind of destabilize hegemony and those very obvious narratives where the people who are in the archives are the white men. As you say, it's balancing the Forsyth. I think we have an opportunity to do something really different if we can stay attentive to that possibility.
But I think there's also, though, a question of how much of it is revealed as opposed to is just recorded. I mean, that was one of the things that when with the presentation about the Forsyth, when I was asking, well, where it, you know, is can this be seen? And you were indicating that, yes, the recordings are there, but not part of this project. And even with what Bibi was saying, I'm not sure necessarily. I mean, you're not talking about the subtext being part of the piece in a sense. I mean, it's part of perhaps the archive that that records the making of the work. But you know, so I guess the question is also, what is revealed, what is, you know, so it's not only what is saved and, you know, what is documented and what is preserved, but how, you know, in what format is that appropriate to share, and or what things do we even want to know? I mean, you know, because there are some things, particularly when I was, when we were looking at your presentation then of what's going on at Maryland, I'm thinking, oh my God, and not only could we see it in three dimensions and have a notation score and everything else, but we can also see the brain impulses that are making that happen. And it's like, at what point do you have to say, too much information, you know, because it's not allowing us to see the thing that maybe the artist wants us to see because of too much cluttered, you know, documentation. I think sometimes about what an individual person might decide, you know, a human being would decide looking at a process, and they themselves would be sorting out, you know, and deciding, now these are the interesting things for me about having watched that process. That's not a recording of the whole thing. That is interpretation, in a sense. So one can also say, well, then that's filtered through somebody's eyes. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes if it's the right person's eyes, it's filtered through a greater understanding, and it's all the things that that person has, all their study, all their years of being able to look at a work process and synthesize that for somebody else. So
it brings up something about access and our sense of, or by, say, finding that ideal, diverse, huge audience, do we also keep in mind that that audience is made up of individuals and individual points of view and perspectives, so that we're not just saying everybody come and have an even experience of this? And so I think that that's a really good concern, keeping kind of the agency of both the artist in directing a point of view, as well as an audience person in kind of making their own path through the work, and how do those things kind of coexist? So it's not just I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of everything. It's a lot of everything. That's, you know, like you said, generalized. But I think that those kinds of boundaries are also really good to work against choreographically. I mean, that's one of the things I always look for, like, what is not happening, what can I inhibit, as well as what can I make. So maybe that part of that that dynamic has to just be considered in how we